And we will be in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And obviously I'm not going to be... This is not going to be a passage that is not known or rarely preached on. It's going to be a passage that's often preached and taught upon. But in verse... In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now, Father, thank you for the word of God that we just read, and we ask for your help tonight, and I ask for your help to speak to hearts. And Lord, while I try to speak the truth of your word, just help me to be a blessing, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, when we look at this passage, you know, I just kind of want to walk through it tonight, because there's so many times that we go through and we read something, and, you know, sometimes things catch our eye, sometimes they don't. And many times, especially if we're just trying to get through an idea of reading the Bible, right? And we want to be faithful. And like sometimes reading the Bible through in a year or something like that, if you made it a goal to read the Bible through the year, you kind of get yourself sometimes on the point of okay, I got to read X amount in order to stay on track here. And then that's why that's not bad. Sometimes it can get to be where you're just trying to meet the quota and get through it. Which, once again, there is no time that you ever read the Bible that it's a bad thing. But sometimes we need to stop and just think about what's being said. Much of what the Bible talks about, especially in the Psalms, he talks about us meditating in the Word of God and meditating on it. And a meditation is not the Eastern religion idea of meditation, where we empty our minds and chant some mantra so we can commune with the universe or whatever they say think they want to do. No, meditation means to think upon, to chew upon, it is actually the idea of meditation. That word has its roots in what we would call, if you were a farmer or a rancher, you would call it rumination. Where that cow goes, or that goat, or that sheep, or whatever it may be, it eats some grass and then it lays down and it regurgitates that grass back up in a form of a cud, and then sits there and chews on it. And it's part of the digestive process. And sometimes we need to do that. We need to just try to digest the Word of God. We need to think upon it and chew on it for a little while. So he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We have a culture today that wants us to rely and trust in ourselves. We have a culture today that celebrates human strength. We have a culture today where if you look at the way humanity is today and the way they go, as people grow older and they become physically weaker, or their mental processes become slower, whatever, we look at that and we want to put it away. We don't want around it. And the few people that are of age, we want them to be vibrant, and we want them to be powerful and all that type of stuff. And you, like a lot of the stuff that's going on with the president right now, he's being ridiculed. And we can talk all day whether or not he belongs in the office that he's in. I mean, whether he's actually should be there or not, whether he's competent enough to do that. But people ridicule him because of it. And a lot of it has to do with his age. They ridiculed Ronald Reagan because of his age. They ridiculed a lot of different people. We go down throughout history, and it's gotten worse as time goes on. We worship the young, the beautiful, the strong, the athlete, those type of people. Those are the ones that do that. And you know, most of those people, you say, well, how come do they stay the way they are? Well, one, they exercise a lot. Wouldn't hurt any of us to exercise, would it? But the other thing is they spend tons of money and medications and things that they do. They sacrifice a lot of things because they want that. And you know, while there's nothing wrong with being healthy, and I would recommend it to everybody, you ought to try to be as healthy as you can. The more healthy you are, the more energy you have to serve the Lord. How about that? That's not a bad thing, is it? But when it comes to strength, when it comes to us, we have to realize that human health, human ability, human strength is not sufficient for any spiritual task. It's not sufficient for the task that's before us. And that's why we're told to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So our strength has to be in the Lord. You know, you go back and you look at the people in times past, the people of faith in times past. You go back to like David and Goliath, that matchup right there. Goliath, the strong man, the spear like a weaver's beam, and he stood 9 cubits in a span. I mean, he's huge. You know, Goliath was taller than anybody living today that we know of. And he was huge. And he had a coat of mail on him and armor on him. And David didn't have anything but a sling and 5 smooth stones. And he ran toward him and he took the sling and he slang the stone, and the stone didn't just hit Goliath in the head, it sunk into his head. Now, I've seen all kinds of things. Well, maybe somebody said, one time I was reading, somebody said, well, maybe Goliath had a soft spot between his eyes. And I've seen people try to figure out how David could sling a stone and it actually sink into the guy's head and hit him and sink in. And the speed that would be required to do that. You know, my cousin, when we were little, he had a situation. We were out playing and some other kids were arguing with our older brothers and everything, we were out there just playing, and we were out and behind the house and everything. We had a little alley that, you know, a little grass road that run behind the house. We called it the alley behind the house, because on our block you had, you know, streets, an alley between the houses, and you had houses facing toward that street, houses facing toward the other street. And that's the way that town was laid out. So we were just out there behind the house in the alley playing, and somebody down there took a big rock, and that rock had spikes on it and everything. It was all gnarly and everything, and he threw it, and it hit my cousin right behind the ear, and it split him open, and it actually broke the bone back there. And he had a lot of years of surgery. He had to end up getting tubes in his ear. He ended up being deaf in that ear. He had spinal meningitis shortly after that. I think that might have, infection may have started from that. And so he had a hard time from that one thing, but it didn't sink into his head. And the fellow that threw it, he was a pretty good sized old boy. And you know, Keith was only about 5 at the time, if I remember correctly. And you know, people all try to figure out, I said, how did that happen? And the answer is God either by himself or through an angel or whatever the case may be. God doesn't tell us. But that stone went right where it needed to go, and it sunk in. And it wasn't anything for David to throw a stone, but the velocity and the power, I don't believe, came from David. I can't believe it came from the Lord. I mean, this is the one who says when Antichrist comes, when Jesus Christ comes, he's going to destroy him with the breath of his mouth. I mean, when Jesus comes back, he's literally going to go, and it's over. And so we see that, and we look at all these things we talk about, and we know, for example, we know that the world, because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. We know that the world will worship the beast, and we know all the things that are going to happen. There is not one thing we can do to stop it, is it? The only one can stop it's the Lord. The only one can change it is the Lord. And so it behooves us to desire and learn to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now there's a lot that goes on to that, but he's going to tell us how to be strong in the Lord, and he's going to talk about that. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The deceitfulness. Somebody is wily, they are deceitful. They try to deceive you. And that is one of the things the devil is. He's an accuser. He's a deceiver. He's the father of lies. This is who he is. And if you look at our culture today, you can see the influence of the devil. Look at how much our governments lie to us. I mean, they lie. The media lies. We look at all the things that are going on. We see it. And it is worse now than it has ever been. We've got a media that chooses sides. We've got all these things that go on. And the simple truth about it is, this shouldn't surprise us. But if we're going to stand against all this, if we're going to deal with this, then we have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If we're going to get through our lives and we're going to do the right thing and we're going to walk the way God wants us to walk. And he says, put on the whole armor of God that you be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he makes it clear. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It is not men that are our enemy. They may be enemies to God because they've chosen to be. And they may be enemies to us in the fact that they've chosen to be enemies to us. But those aren't the people we're fighting against. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The battle is spiritual, it's not physical. The battle is spiritual. But we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Everything that some human being is doing in this world is either influenced by the workings of the devil and his angels, or it is influenced by the Spirit of God. You choose which one you're going to be. But you have to understand there's a spiritual component to it. And we get that way sometimes, we forget that. Somebody does us wrong, or somebody's ugly or unkind, and now it's personal. But it doesn't need to be personal. But you have to understand there's something behind that. There's a spiritual component to it. I remember one time my brother-in-law, I believe it was his second wife. That was Lynn, right? Second wife?
No, Lynn was first.
Lynn was first. Lynn was the first wife, okay. His first wife, Lynn, she did not like us. She did not like me. She did not like Sister Denise. But we just kept being kind. And, you know, eventually she got saved. You know what? She loved us. And it's just a wonderful thing to see what God's done in her life. And, you know, their marriage didn't last and they went on, but, you know, we kind of got in trouble because we kept treating her like a sister in the Lord, and it upset, you know, my brother-in-law at that time. But the bottom line is, I'm just simply saying, it was just I can give you all kind of stories like that. People didn't like us and they got saved and they loved us, and then, you know, that's the type of thing that happens. But, you know, what's the difference? The difference is the spirit that was influencing. All right? And we've had other people who didn't get saved and they still hate us to this day. And not for anything that we've done. Not for anything that not that we did anybody wrong. It's just they don't like what we stand for. And some of you may have the same idea, same thing that happens. But I bring those things up. It's because very simply, the issue is not anything other than the spiritual influence behind that person. And we have to learn to recognize that. And in order to stand against it, we need the whole armor of God. Look at our government. We're supposed to be praying for kings and all that are in authority and all these type of things that we're supposed to do. And the Bible tells us to do. Why? Why should we take this as a matter of prayer? Hey, let's go out and start a voter drive. Let's go out and do this. Hey, I'm all for it. Go start your voter drive. Try to find you a good person to run for office. But you know, there's been a lot of good people that went into office that came out bad too, hasn't it? Start good, end up bad. We see it more when the politicians. How many people have gone into Hollywood and turned into wicked as the devil? They start out nice and sweet, and everybody loves them, and then they go off and, you know, in order to make it in Hollywood, they end up having to prostitute themselves. Because that's the spirit behind it. I mean, we could spend a long time talking about it. There's a spirit there. There's something. That's why we ought to be praying for our leaders the way we're supposed to do. So he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, before I go into all of these other things that we talk about, we're going to look at the whole armor of God, and we'll look at it what we're supposed to do. But herein is the first part that we need to get settled on this. When we say, when the Bible says that these things are the armor of God, and we are to take the armor of God so we can stand and be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, when the Bible tells us to do these things, this means that this is God's word telling us that this is what we need, and this will work. And so many times we read the Bible and we don't believe it. So he says, wherefore, and take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Alright? When we talk about it being girt about with truth, alright, he's talking about truth. Alright? Jesus said in John chapter 17, when he was praying for his disciples and also praying for us today, he said, he asked his Father, he said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Right? No man cometh unto the Father but by him. And so we are to have our loins girt about with truth. And so, obviously, the truth of God's word, and by extension, truthfulness in ourselves, truth in ourselves. The Bible says, lie not one to another, seeing you've put off the old man and his deeds. So have our loins girt about with truth. He's trying to make the picture of a soldier putting on his armor. And then he says, having on the breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. Now, our righteousness is not our own. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So my righteousness is not my own. I'm not going to go to heaven one day and say, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? Thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to praise Jesus because he died on Calvary's cross. He shed his blood for my sins. And my sins were imputed to him. And when I trusted Christ as my Savior, his righteousness was imputed to me. And that is my righteousness. My righteousness is in Him and Him alone. So I don't have any righteousness. I can't be holier than thou because I'm not. And yeah, you're going to get people that will accuse you of being holier than thou because you tell them the truth. But that doesn't mean you have to be that way. You don't have, I don't have any room to look down my nose at anybody. I go into the jail a lot of times and I talk to those guys and I say, look, I said, the only difference between me and you is you got caught and you're here tonight and you can't leave, and I didn't get caught when I should have got caught, and I should be right here with you because I did things in my life that were worthy of jail. I'm not happy about it. I'm not proud about it. It's not a badge of honor. It's a badge of shame. So I don't have any righteousness. The only righteousness I have is what I've been given from the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the Apostle Paul, he said, being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but even the righteousness of God by faith in Christ. He said, that's the righteousness I have, not my own righteousness, his righteousness. So having God's word, the truth, in us and there, and that truthfulness in us, and then having understanding where our righteousness is, understanding that. You know, sometimes the devil, I've had many Christians come to me and say, you know, I just feel like the devil, I always just feel like I'm always being condemned, and I feel like I'm not worthy. And I said, well, let's just get something straight right now. You're not worthy. But you need to stop looking at your unworthiness and start looking at what Christ has given you, that righteousness. And not have your chest puff up, but in humility. I'm right before God because of what Jesus did for me on Calvary's cross. Alright. That's why we pray in Jesus' name, isn't it? That's why we don't pray in our own name, right? We pray in Jesus' name. Why? Because we can't come to God in our own name. We have to come in His name. In His authority. In His righteousness. So, He says, have your loins girt about with truth, have on the breastplate of righteousness, and have and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of faith. Gospel of peace, excuse me. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So he gives the picture of a belt, a girdle, if you will, a breastplate, and now your feet being shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. If you were to go to Romans chapter 10, it says this in verse 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So that is written, that's quoting from the Old Testament, but the reality is that preparation of the gospel of peace, understanding how you got saved and being willing and able to give that testimony and share the gospel with other people, being prepared to share the gospel with other people, is something that is imperative. And it uses as our feet. You get an army and they don't have good footwear, they don't march very long. They can't move the way they're supposed to do. You get crippled in your feet, makes life miserable, doesn't it? And you know, the one thing about it is that we never see. You know, one of the ways the devil always tries to get us to do is he always tries to get us to be at a point of compromise where we're kind of shy to declare ourselves as a Christian and be open about it. And then when we're not open about it, guess what happens? Then people start putting pressure on us to do things that everybody else is doing that we know are not right. But I guarantee you, if you come up and you declare yourself as a Christian and try to share the gospel with somebody, you've kind of declared yourself, you've already put yourself in that position of taking a stand, haven't you? kind of solves a lot of those problems. I'm not saying you won't be tempted. I'm not saying you won't be dealt with. But you know, I'll just say this as a pastor. One of the simplest ways, and not just as a pastor, but as a man, it goes the same thing for the ladies and everything like that. One of the simplest ways of dealing with somebody who gets wrong ideas about somebody, and I've had women try to flirt with me and everything like that, but you know, when I start talking about Jesus, start sharing the gospel with them, all that flirting stops. And when I start talking about the Lord Jesus and everything, people instinctively say, instinctively, there's certain things they don't ask me to do. There's a reality. There's a truth there. But we ought to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We ought to know the Word of God. And then he says, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench some of the darts, fiery darts of the wicked. Is that what it said? No, it didn't say some of them. It said all of them. A-double-L. All of them. All the fiery darts of the wicked. All the fiery darts of the wicked can be quenched with the shield of faith. You know, when you go into the military, and I'm sure, brother, they probably do a lot of this in law enforcement as well. When they train you to do things, they tell you, trust your training. Trust your weapons. Trust your shield. Trust these things that you have. And you have to do the job, to war the warfare. And one of the things, you know, we need to stand against the wiles of the devil, and one of the things he always wants us to do is not trust the Lord. And then if he can't get us to not trust the Lord, then he just tries to shift it over a little bit and tries to get us not to trust what God says. No, preacher, I need I need to stand in the power of the Lord and in His might. Okay? And then put on the armor. He tells us how to do it. This is what He's telling us to do. Believe it. We've got to get to the point where we believe it again. And then he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Trusting God. If you believe God, then you don't believe the devil, do you? All the fiery darts of the wicked, you can quench all of them. And then he says, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. The helmet is to protect your head. That's where your mind is. And I would say to have an assurance of your salvation. You see, I don't look at myself as if I'm anything special. And I'm made out of the same chunk of dirt that you are. I'm a man. I live in a depraved body. My body is not yet redeemed. I have to deal with the things that go on in the world, the same temptations, the same trials and tribulations. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Alright? And so I don't look at myself that. But there's one thing I'm 100% persuaded about, and that's that I'm saved. I don't have any doubt on that score. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know that regardless of what goes on down here, regardless of how I succeed or fail, my faith and my trust is in what Christ did for me on Calvary's cross. He is my Savior. He's my only hope of heaven. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And I know my faith and my trust is in him and him alone. And I know that. And I don't have any doubts about my salvation. And if you doubt your salvation, boy, you're wide open, aren't you? If you don't get that settled. And so if you have doubts about your salvation, that's something to get settled. And people have said, you know, you need to, and it's wise counsel. They say, you need to write down the, a lot of times I've had people, I've gone out soul winning them, they've led somebody to Christ, says, you need to write this date down. And you need to write this date down and you need to remember it. You need to keep a record of it. I didn't have anybody tell me to write the date down. I just know it was August of 83. That's all I know. So it was in the month of August, it was 1983, that's when I got saved. I know where I was, I know when I got on my knees and called on the Lord. I know the moment I believed God's Word, I know that. And it's settled for me. That's a helmet nobody can take off of me. You know, I may fail to take the rest of the armor, but I've always got my helmet on. I'm glad. And then he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, that is the only offensive weapon. I say that's not the only offensive weapon. It's really not, because the next one's offensive as well, praying. But he says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. That this is the Word of God. It is what we use. It is what the Holy Ghost uses to lead us into all truth. He uses the Word of God. He uses the truth. Jesus said he would lead you into all truth. He would take of mine and show it unto you. He said he would bring to remembrance all things whatsoever I have told you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the sword of the Spirit. And it is the Word of God. And so this is something that we need to have hold of. This is why it's so important to get the Bible into your mind and your heart. It's a weapon. And I don't need to remind you when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, he used the Word of God as his weapon against the devil, didn't he? And even when the devil tried to twist the Bible, Jesus corrected him. And the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, having that truth in us, standing on that truth, the breastplate of Christ's righteousness, he's the truth, he's our righteousness, the preparation of the gospel of peace, the message of the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We could go down the list of that. Having that understanding of that, having that shield of faith, believing what God says about this armor, believing his word, believing in that righteousness, that helmet of salvation, that assurance, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved. And then having that Word of God, being able to use it. You know, it's one thing to have it as a belt. It's another thing to be able to pull the sword off the belt and use it, isn't it? Think about that. And then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Notice what he says. He says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Spirit-led prayer. Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's not tongues, by the way. That's prayer that is dictated by the Spirit of God. It's prayer that's led by the Spirit of God. And there's times the Bible says that we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Right? But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, even when we don't know what to pray. He said, boy, I want to have Spirit-led prayer. Preacher, how do I do that? Well, I would say that the very first step is when God impresses on your heart that you need to pray about something, that you say, yes, Lord, and you do it. Instead of saying, well, I'll do that later. All the good intentions in the world don't do you any good if you never follow through, does it? There are times people say, preacher, pray for me. Do I do it or do I not? There are times I'm just going about my day and a thought comes to mind, I need to pray for somebody. Do I do it or do I not? Am I obedient? You know, if we want Spirit-led prayer, the first thing to do is pray when the Spirit tells you to do it. You know, if you're going to say no every time the Spirit calls upon you to pray, then you can't. How can you be Spirit-led? I'm just being honest with you. You're reading your Bible, you see something, and you learn something out of the Bible, and you say, man, I need to be praying for these people. Why not start right there? Then and there. I read in the Bible where he says here, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's all Christians. All believers. We ought to be praying for all believers. You know, there are times when I pray specifically. I may pray for the missionaries by name, and I may know what their prayer requests are, and I may pray for those. I may have a brother or sister here in the congregation, and they've asked me to pray, and they've shared prayer requests like we did tonight, and I know, and I pray for them. But there's sometimes that we ought to just pray what God says to pray. Pray for our leaders. Pray for all men that they're saved. Pray for saved people. And notice what he also says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. One of the things I pray for these folks here is that they would have the boldness to be able to speak the way God wants them to. Pray for those who God's called to preach the Word of God. Missionaries, evangelists, pastors, teachers, whatever the case may be. Pray for them to be. Paul says, you need to pray for me so I can do my job. I need God's help. So please pray for me. And the Lord Jesus told us to pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. There's a lot of things we ought to pray. But when the Spirit of God touches your heart and says you ought to pray, you know what you ought to do? You ought to pray. When a thought comes to your mind that you ought to pray for somebody, you ought to pray for them. Trust me, it's not the devil tapping you on the shoulder saying, hey, I think you need to pray for these people. Hey, that person over there, he's lost. He's dying and going to hell. This is the devil, by the way. I just want to let you know that fellow over there is lost. I've got him lock, stock, and barrel. You need to pray for him, otherwise he's going to go to hell. Do you think the devil does that? No. So if God, if the thought comes to your heart and mind that you ought to pray for that person, somebody does you wrong and you say, you know, the thought comes, I should pray for them. That's the time to do it. Everything else is window dressing. If you won't listen to the Spirit of God when He wants you to pray, then you can't say you have Spirit-led prayer. And you can flap your tongue all you want to and say you're speaking in some heavenly language, but if you won't listen to the Spirit of God when He touches your heart to pray for somebody, you can't say you're being led by the Spirit of God. It's just that simple. We ought to pray with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We ought to pray for all saints. We ought to pray for those that are called to the work of the ministry that God sends out. You know, I don't know. If you guys took to praying real hard for me, who knows what you might hear out of this pulpit? Now, whether you pray for me or not, I have a responsibility, right? But I need all the help I can get. I'm not ashamed to say it. If the Spirit of God tells you to pray for me, pray for me. If He tells me to pray for you, I ought to pray for you. If the thought enters your mind that you need to pray, it's not coming from the devil. Unless he's telling you to pray for something you know you shouldn't be praying for. You know. But if you're saved, you ought to know the difference between the Spirit of God and your own fleshly desires. It's real simple. And the question is, if we do these things, guess what? We will have put on the whole armor of God. We will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We will be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We'll have victory. Now, victory doesn't always mean spiritual victory doesn't always look like worldly victory. All right, doesn't mean you get everything you want. I remind you, Paul said, I'm an ambassador in bonds. I'm here in jail. Why are you in jail, Brother Paul, for doing right, telling people about Jesus? Aren't you mad? No. Are you happy? Well, that really doesn't enter into it. I'm happy doing the Lord's work. I'm here where God wants me, evidently. So I need you to pray for me, but I'm an ambassador. So are you and so am I. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're an ambassador. We're ambassadors for Christ. So we need the power of God. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And here's how we get it. And it comes down to, do we believe it or not? That's what it comes down to. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. And Father, help us, we pray, to just simply believe Your Word. Take You at face value, everything You say. It's not difficult, it's not hard. It's only hard on the flesh. It's only the selfishness and the willfulness in us that causes us to try to figure that there's some other way or that Your way won't work. And Lord, I just pray You deliver us from that arrogance and help us to humble ourselves and believe Your Word. Help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of Your might, we pray. And Lord, You know what we face this week. And so when the Spirit comes and talks to us, help us to just be obedient. When we read the Word of God and we see things in the Word of God of what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to pray, help us to just be obedient. Help us to be led of the Spirit of God in our prayer life. Lord, help us to learn to use the Word of God as it's meant to be used. Help us to be prepared to share the gospel. Help us to trust in You and all these things that You've told us. Help us to be sure of our salvation. Help us to be full of Your truth and, Lord, and consciousness that our righteousness is of You. Help us to pray as we ought to pray. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.